Right now, time to start off our week once again with Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us on Monday mornings, and we get together and we talk about food. But I guess lettuce is on the topic for today. Good morning.
Well, we talked about dressing last week.
Yes.
So I thought at the end of the segment, I said, "Oh, well, next week lettuce." So I guess I'm stuck. But you know, lettuce is not just lettuce.
Yes.
I don't know. When I say lettuce, what do you think of?
I think of a lot of things. I think of salads.
No particular lettuce?
Bacon. Oh, I think of iceberg. That's always my top lettuce is iceberg.
And you like iceberg?
I love iceberg lettuce. I'm branching out now to like other lettuces as well, but still iceberg is the go-to for me.
It's not the go-to for me, but I do appreciate iceberg in many guises and for many reasons. But there was a period, and I'll tell you, I'm old enough to remember the whole story here. Craig Claiborne was very anti-iceberg lettuce, and he was the most influential food writer in America starting in the 1960s. And Craig, I don't know, he disdained iceberg lettuce. And this kind of attitude, I think, still carries on with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a polite word, but I can't. Because I have a snob supermarket around the corner from me, well, more or less, three blocks away, and they don't carry iceberg lettuce. I mean, they carry every other lettuce you can think of. In fact, I do go there for certain greens that I have trouble finding elsewhere. For instance, I know I can always get watercress at the snob supermarket, but not iceberg. And I like iceberg. But let's say America has grown to like other lettuces. When I was growing up, when you were growing up, what was there? There was iceberg, and I guess there was romaine.
Yeah.
My mother and father discovered Caesar salad in the early 60s, and so we had romaine lettuce all the time because my mother made Caesar salad all the time. By the way, my father's best friend was Caesar. His name was Caesar. So, and in fact, I have still, believe it or not, the very salad bowl my mother bought on a trip to Canada. It's made out of Canadian maple. It says so on the bottom. But it was a second. So it had a little hairline crack in it at one time. The hairline crack is not so hairline anymore. But I still use it practically daily to make all kinds of salads. It's a really nice and now very well, what are we going to call it? I don't know. You know, my mother did this too. When in the beginning of Caesar salad, which, by the way, is made with romaine lettuce. You can put Caesar kind of dressing on any kind of lettuce, except, and I'll tell you why in a minute, except for Boston or Bibb, those very soft, buttery lettuces. You used to rub the bowl with a cut clove of garlic. I do not recommend this. I'm not even sure where that came from. I'm sure, well, it may have been part of the original salad, which was invented, believe it or not, in Tijuana, Mexico, as a what are we going to serve them on July 4th weekend when we have nothing left in the kitchen? we've been so busy. So the salad by Caesar, it was called Caesar's Place, was the name of the restaurant. He invented the salad. Romaine lettuce. Now, it's a little controversial. Did Caesar make it originally with whole leaves of romaine, or did he toss it with torn or cut romaine? I am a torn or cut. In case of romaine, I cut. This was another Craig Claiborne thing. You weren't supposed to cut lettuce. You only should tear lettuce. Well, I don't know. In the case of iceberg, a very hearty head lettuce. In the case of romaine, another very hearty lettuce. I have no problem cutting, and I just with a head of romaine. I cut crosswise. With iceberg, it's something different. Because usually, if I'm going to eat iceberg, we eat iceberg as a wedge. I laugh when I see $22 wedge of lettuce appetizers in a restaurant. What are they putting on it that it ends up being $22? A head of iceberg is a couple bucks still. In a super expensive store, maybe it's $2.50. And that would serve four people. So there you go. It's the dressing. When iceberg is crunch and moisture and a nice, pleasant, very, very mild taste. That's why it's so receptive, I should say, to gloppy dressings. Blue cheese dressing, Russian dressing. I love my own ranch dressing, not out of a bottle. A lot of dressings. And by the way, most dressings fall into one of three categories. A vinaigrette, oil and vinegar dressing, a dressing based on mayonnaise, for instance, Russian dressing, and even blue cheese I put mayonnaise in sometimes. And ranch dressing, which is based on fermented milk products. In my case, I use sour cream and buttermilk. But there is another category that I sometimes make of dressings based on tahini or based even on peanut butter. I think they make terrific dressings. You have to, of course, thin it out, and that is usually with acid, lemon juice. You can add water to tahini, and it will thin out. In fact, once you add lemon juice to tahini, it'll seize up, and then you're going to have to thin it out. And you can add herbs. If you really want a sharper dressing, you could add a little bit of vinegar, but I prefer just lemon juice. Anyway, but back to the lettuces. I think your lettuce determines what kind of a dressing you're going to make. So if I only have romaine in the house, I'm sort of open to almost anything, and we're likely just to have oil and vinegar, and not a full-fledged French-type vinaigrette, but that's really terrific on romaine also. And, of course, the Caesar dressing, even if I'd make it without croutons. I think last week when I outlined my Caesar dressing, I forgot to say Parmigiano. You do want a great... some cheese over the salad. I don't know if you can hear this, but there's a silly dog that lives downstairs, and he's barking right now. So I close the door. This silly, very silly dog is named Thor, of course. So, and he's tiny. So anyway, the kind of green you use, I think, determines what kind of a dressing. I mentioned watercress before, because there are a lot more greens than lettuce to put in a salad bowl. Watercress. I happen to love endive, and I like a salad just of endive, in fact. Now, we used to call it, this is funny because I ran across, I was probably reading Marcella Hazan, who claims that the word arugula is Italian-American. And if you recall, only a few years ago, if you wanted arugula, you got this sort of large-leafed peppery green. Sometimes the stems were so tough you wanted to snip them off. They were big leaves. Nowadays, I have not seen that kind of arugula in a long time, and I think Marcella was wrong, because I have seen the word arugula used in Sicily. So I'm guessing it's more like Sicilian dialect than it is Italian-American. But these days, I prefer this, you can buy what Italians call wild arugula, or wild rucola is really what it's, rucola. We call it rocket. Our word in English for this green is rocket. I think they sell it mainly as baby arugula, and I only see it in boxes. Maybe there's bags, too, but in my supermarket and market world, I only see it in boxes. If, by the way, you have a garden and you want to try this, that the reason it's wild, rucola, is because it does spread very quickly and self-seeds. So I have a friend who lives on Long Island who planted a few seeds, and it took over her garden. Now, she has particularly good growing conditions, I think, and probably some good soil there, too. I don't know about the soil needs of rucola. But if you can get some seeds and you want to put them somewhere in the garden where they're not going to take over, or where it doesn't matter if they take over. It's sort of nice when it takes over, I think. Anyway, then you can go in the backyard and pick it. And then it's going to be more peppery, I think, than what I've been buying in the market, because Mr. Harnett does not like real peppery greens. I can get away with some in a salad, but not a whole salad of peppery greens. But he doesn't mind what they're selling as baby rocket. What else? Watercress, rocket, endive. Ah, here's a lettuce, or green anyway, that I use in salad that you may not be aware of. I happen to like bitter things, but escarole, when it's grown to a nice dark green, can be pretty bitter. However, the inside leaves, which are pale green, are not very bitter. They're only slightly bitter. And if you want to, you can cook the outside part of the escarole, and you could, I mean, I'll tell you in a second how to do that, and then use the middle part, and you can taste it raw. It's going to be delicious, I think. And use the pale green and yellow leaves that are in the middle of the head. You may need a couple of even sizable heads of escarole to make enough salad of just escarole. And I like a dressing in this case, oil, vinegar, an anchovy, all mashed up, maybe a tiny bit of garlic, either just grated garlic is good, or finely minced garlic, and vinegar. That's it. So, you know, a sharp, even salty dressing on these tender but slightly bitter greens. The outside greens, I think you have to cook. I don't think they're really tender enough for a salad. But what I do is I bring a big pot of water to the boil, throw the washed outside nice colored green leaves in the water, and when the water comes back to the boil, and I use a lot of water, so it comes back pretty quick, I take the greens out, drain them, and then saute them in olive oil with garlic and pepper. If you like hot pepper, this is a very good green for hot peppers. I don't know. Have I left out a green, Marshall?
Not that I know of, but then again, I'm not an expert on
green. I know there were more. Yeah. I was enumerating them in my head all morning. But a salad, you know, is not a very caloric thing, so people eat it thinking they're eating something healthy. But I need to say that dressing negates all the non-caloric value of greens. So it's all about what you're putting on the greens. The greens don't count for nothing. I mean, they barely have calories. Darker greens have more nutrition than lighter greens. For instance, I have a friend who's on blood thinners, and she can't eat any dark greens unless she stops taking her, I guess it's vitamin K. That's what the greens provide, by the way. It's a blood vitamin. So yeah, you have to be careful. So if you're on any medication, don't overdo the dark greens. By the way, spinach is a dark green after all. I don't make much salad with spinach. I used to many years ago. Remember when it was very voguish, en vogue? We were talking about this word last night. That's why it keeps coming to me. When it was en vogue to have spinach and raw spinach and raw mushroom salad with a mustard vinaigrette. this was a thing in the days when what are they, you know, hanging plant places? There was a name for it. We're talking about the 1960s. But I haven't, and bacon. That was another, that salad was spinach. It was a pretty good salad. Spinach, mushrooms, bacon with a mustard vinaigrette. Maybe we should have that for lunch today. But I would switch out the spinach, to be honest with you. I don't love spinach as a salad green. Even these days when you can buy this tasteless, I think, baby spinach in boxes, all clean and everything. It's so easy. It's so tempting. But on the, then when you go to eat it, it doesn't taste like anything. So I would much rather have cooked spinach, which I adore, cooked mushrooms, which I also love, and you put bacon on, people say you put bacon on anything and it's even better. I don't know about that, but I think it's a great combination. I just don't want to eat it all raw. Well, I could eat raw bacon.
That's right.
You know, people, pancetta, which is bacon, but cured in a different way than American bacon is. And it's firmer in the end, too. It can be sliced very thin and eaten raw, and it is in Italy. People do eat raw bacon, but sliced very thin, and very often with hot toast. So you put the raw bacon on hot toast, and it gets a little melty. It's very good. So, and I always, and that's another thing I could eat today. I have pancetta in the house. Let's talk about storing greens, because this is an issue for people who don't have a store right around the corner and can't go out and buy a head of lettuce. You know, I lived in the northwest corner, so I know you have to make a plan and go to the store and get an... Anyway, Iceberg keeps... Usually, you know, I keep it in its original packaging, which is a cellophane wrapper. And then when I after I open it, I put it in a plastic bag. It'll stay nice for a week. So that's a real advantage for Iceberg. And by the way, I like to have Iceberg in the house because besides making wedges with gloppy dressing, we like it just plain. Just I'll just shred it up and toss it with oil and vinegar and salt and pepper. And we like it just like that. In fact, I would say that Iceberg is a great showcase for really good olive oil and vinegar, because the lettuce itself is mainly moisture and crunch, which is good underneath salt and oil and a little bit of good vinegar. So that one's an easy one to store. Romaine also stores very well. Now, I don't buy what they call hearts of romaine. Usually there are three packaged together, because I like the darker outside leaves. So I look for very green, fresh-looking outside leaves, and I'm fortunate I have a store here that always has, I must say, really good romaine lettuce. I find that when I buy locally grown romaine at this time of the year, it can sometimes be tough, believe it or not, but tasty. So it's just you're unaccustomed to having to chew so much for lettuce. And I, certainly if I'm making a Caesar salad, I want some of those outside dark green leaves. And the hearts of lettuce, I don't know. You could, if you're really lazy, buy the hearts of romaine. Romaine will also keep in the fridge, I think, nearly a week. And if you get some, what will happen is the ribs part will turn a little rusty. So those you can either break off or toss away, but you've got it in the house for a week. Now, the soft lettuces, there's one lettuce that goes by three names: Boston, Bibb, and Limestone. And sometimes I even see it as just butter lettuce, so I guess it's four names. It's all pretty much the same lettuce. Limestone lettuce, grown in Kentucky in limestone, was refined, I'm not sure exactly what he did, by a man named Colonel Bibb. So the real genuine Bibb lettuce is theoretically from Kentucky. I know about this, by the way, because I have a dear friend, Suzanne Bibb Bratter, who told me the history many, many, many years ago. And it was her uncle, Colonel Bibb, who did something with this limestone lettuce. But, you know, Boston lettuce is pretty much the same thing. I read somewhere that, you know, Boston is bigger heads and the Bibb is smaller heads. I just bought one the other day that is grown on a rooftop in Williamsburg. Do you know about the rooftop farms in parts of Brooklyn?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I remember years ago when this all started, and there was a little farm stand kind of thing set up on a street in Bushwick, and I stopped, and I was going to a restaurant there. And I said, oh, I bet you, I suppose these are grown on the roof. She said, oh, no, these are grown in the backyard. But it was farm products. Anyway, there is a company called Gotham Greens, which is a farm on a rooftop in Brooklyn. And they had a lettuce they called Boston lettuce, but it was tiny. It was more like a Bibb. And I bought another Boston lettuce. By the way, these Boston lettuces are expensive and delicate, and some of them are coming on their roots. And I bought one of these that was on it. Really, it was in a plastic box, looking gorgeous, and you could see the roots were still attached. So I didn't know how long I could keep that, but I was testing it. And I kept it for an entire week, and it still was perfect. So if you buy one of those lettuces, see if you can find one or go for the one that has the roots attached. Apparently, there's enough moisture in that box to keep it all fresh-looking. Then the one from Gotham, the Gotham Greens, did not have roots attached, but it was a very fresh-looking head. And they're sensational. And I have to say that the dressing I'm most preferring, I mentioned this last week, for these very tender lettuces, is a cream dressing that I learned from Jacques Pepin on Facebook, but in fact is a very traditional Lyonnaise from Lyon in France, a salad dressing. And it's nothing to do. It's the proportions I've been using, and that is enough for just enough for my larger head of Boston lettuce. A quarter of a cup of heavy cream, which you whisk lightly just for 15 seconds with a whisk in a bowl, and it'll get a little bit thickened in 15 seconds. And then you add I used a tablespoon against my own judgment, but it worked out perfectly. I used my best red wine vinegar, a tablespoon of my best red wine vinegar, a salt and pepper, I would say about a half teaspoon of salt and several grinds of fresh pepper. And that's it. And as soon as you add the vinegar to the cream, it's going to thicken up a little bit more. And that's it. That's the whole dressing. For all the many, many years I've known him, always carries on about how if you tell people to use 2 tablespoons of olive oil on a salad, they have no problem with it. But if you tell them to use 2 tablespoons of cream on something, they'll cringe at the fat content. So just to say, a tablespoon of cream is 50 calories, and a tablespoon of olive oil is about 120. So double. Anyway, that's a quarter of a cup plus the tablespoon is enough to address a nice head of Boston lettuce. And that's all you need on it. And by the way, iceberg, you can dress a head. Well, I wouldn't put oil and vinegar on it, but you can definitely glop your glop on top of a wedge. Romaine stays very crisp for quite a while. But the soft lettuces, like leaf lettuce is another one, besides the Boston, limestone, whatever. Those lettuces, as soon as the acid touches the leaf, it starts wilting. So they must be dressed at the very last minute. Watercress holds up pretty well. Endive holds up very well. One of the reasons I like an endive salad. And I use endive, you know, it's very expensive, but, you know, half a pound of endive, which will cost maybe $3, is equivalent to a head of lettuce. So it's, in the end, it's about the same. And I think it's special. And sometimes I cut it crosswise, and sometimes I just pull the leaves off. And then you're going to have to cut the root end a little bit to pull more leaves off. But whole leaves of endive, I think, are luxurious.
I like to
and put... mix them endive with watercress. How delicious is that? And what else can you put in there? You know, I mean, don't mess it up too much. Nuts. I always think a few chopped nuts on a salad is very nice. Walnuts, healthy.
I like those with those pine nuts. I like them. I don't know why.
I love pine nuts, but they've gotten so expensive.
Yeah.
I think, didn't you tell me they were $40-something dollars a pound?
Yeah, when you break it down, yeah, to a pound.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, they just, anybody who may ever shop at Costco, they do sell very inexpensive pine nuts at Costco. And my Italian friends used to go buy them to take them back to Italy because they were so much less expensive than what they would pay at home. But they're not the same quality as a Mediterranean pine nut. They're probably from China. But, you know, the Chinese eat a lot of pine nuts. So, anyway, they're, I think, I don't know what they are. I haven't looked in a long time. But they used to be significantly less expensive.
Well, for a little nut, they add a lot when you put them into a salad. They really
do.
Yeah,
they do. Well, this is why I like nut butter-based salad dressings. I really often, just for a break, will make a tahini dressing. Or I don't usually keep almond butter in the house, but I always have peanut butter in the house. And I like a peanut butter dressing, too. It can be. It doesn't have to be Asian-tasting, but I do love like peanut butter mixed with soy sauce. A little bit of sesame oil makes it all seem like sesame paste. You can add a lot of different, you know, a little hot pepper, good night. Rice wine vinegar for a little acid.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot. You can be very creative with salad. My only problem with salad, between you and me and whoever's listening, I don't really like washing salad. I do it because it's necessary.
You have to do it. That's right. You're exactly right.
And I don't have a salad dryer, if that's the question. I hear it in the audience. No, it takes up too much space. So I either put all my salad leaves after they're washed and drained in a colander. And I sometimes wash individual leaf by leaf, depends on how dirty it seems.
Hmm.
I put them in a big, big dish towel and gather up the dish towel into like a hobo's sack. And shake the greens in that, and with the case of romaine, I lay it out on the clean cloth, and roll it up because those are nice long leaves. You can just roll them up, and if you're not making the salad right away, you can stick it in the refrigerator in the like my mother used to do with the ironing. Roll it up in a towel and put it in the refrigerator. Ma, what's a towel doing in the refrigerator? It's just ironing.
All right. Well, Arthur.
All right. Well, I'm going to iron myself, too. Well, maybe I'm going to go back to bed.
All right. Well, have a good nap.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, Arthur Schwartz can be heard on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.